We don't get away with bad behavior. Woe are we if we do get away with bad behavior in this life, because the Bible says that whom God loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son and daughter that he receives. But if you are without chastening, you're illegitimate. You're not even his child. We need to embrace that chastening when it does come, when he does deal with us to build our character, however it is. Every wave is an education. Everything you're going to encounter is an education. It's testing us so that God might trust us in all that he's given us.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed. Because we came, we'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 9.
Blessed because we came. You will be blessed because we came.
Joshua was so fearful of going into battle. Be not dismayed. Be not afraid. Dismayed would be, oh, I want to turn and run because I don't think I could do it. And so often that reluctance, I think in one sense it can be good, but it's not good if God's given a gifting and for some reason a fear within will not allow us to use that. Why did God give it in the first place then? And you're thinking, well, should he have given it to somebody else that would might step into that role? That's what I was thought in ministry and in me. I was really a surfboard guy, and that's what I knew best. I didn't know what I'm doing now, but I really felt that need. So just stepped into that need. And then God equips. God equips, and you know, it's God's word, it's God's work. You know, He does what He wants to do in and through your life. So He had His sons there, probably like Gideon. Gideon wasn't pushing his weight around. Remember, he was beating out wheat in the wine press. In other words, he was hiding out. When God called him, he said, who am I? And my family were the least of all in all Israel. You see, a humble person, but I think in one sense, we can use humility to almost, in a sense, be a negative. It's not humility, it's pride in reverse. I don't want to do it because I might make a mistake. I don't want to do it because I'm uncomfortable in front of people, or I don't want to do it because I don't have time. But it's just pride in reverse, and you don't want that to rule your life. You see, but here, this fella, Abimelech, he's pushing his way into ministry. And Jotham compares him to a bramble. A bramble, really good for nothing. It just blows in the wind, just wherever the wind carries it. It's got no roots. It's got no stability. And really, he's exposing his ambition. He's just an ambitious guy. And he's willing to kill to get that position. Worthless plant without fruit. And you want him to rule over you? And they go, yeah. Yeah, we want him. You see, and so they get from this pagan temple, they get 70 pieces of silver to go and get these worthless guys, and then they go and they kill the 70 sons of Gideon. Vile men, it says. Things haven't changed. There are vile people today. Sometimes we don't want to, you know, we get censored if we mention that. And maybe we can use that word. I don't know. Maybe that word's censored now. But there are vile men in high places, and they're just doing damage to people. You see, they're out for power and not for people. You could always see if a person is vile and they're loving the power and not loving the people because of how they lead and decisions that they make and how they put laws into place. You see, self-ruled, dominated by passions of the flesh. One of the things I thought is very interesting in verse 15, he says, boasting in what he does, but he doesn't do anything. He's a deceiver. You know, those around him in my shadow, you're going to cover me with your shadow? You see, often there are those that boast in false gifts. They don't have gifts. They're just boasting in those. And it's always, we mention it so many times, we've got to be tested before we're trusted. And that proves us. You see, our life, just living life, it's proof of what kind of a person, what kind of a character, what kind of a Christian we are. You're going to be proved in your life tonight, tomorrow, throughout the week. It's how we're proved. In the church and outside the church, when me and the grandkids, we were Sandy Beach, you know, it's actually Sandy Beach is one of the nation's neck and back injury beaches, because Sandy Beach, you know, it breaks so hard and it's right on the shore. But it's a great body surfing place. I love it. But I take the grandkids there. Now, they were a little older, maybe 10 years old. And, you know, 10's kind of young to go out. This depends on the surf, how big it is. But I would sit there and little Bud, I would sit there with him, and he's probably about 10 years old, maybe even 9 years old. And I'd look at the surf, and it looked like it could have some power. And I said, well, what do you think? Do you want to go out? I'm not going to push him. I'm not going to make him go out. He says, it's kind of big. I said, yeah, but I think you could do it. You can do it. But, you know, you make a decision. Okay, you know, so we get out there. And we're out there, and I said, Bud, every wave is an education. It's going to hold you under. Some are going to hold you under longer. Don't panic. You just go with it, and then you'll pop up. And you've always got to be aware of the bottom. You've got to be aware every wave is an education to you to how to body surf and how to be a good, safe body surfer. You see, for us, life is an education. What kind of Christian am I going to be? What kind of person am I going to be? What kind of husband am I going to be? What kind of father? What kind of pastor am I going to be? What kind of leader am I going to be? What kind of friend am I going to be? You see, it's an education. And so you find that Jotham, really, as he's speaking out, he's bringing that to their understanding. You know, who are you following and why are you following? Reminding them of the good service of his dad. And yet, look at this guy. Look at what he's done. Look at what he's up to. You see, and then obviously, Jotham has to leave. I mean, otherwise, Abimelech's going to catch him and kill him. So he goes. But notice it's a short reign. It's not a long reign. And God, again, God is dealing with them, judging them. Verse 22, and we'll go to verse 29. Now Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Ah, these guys were in cahoots with one another. You see, sometimes those that are in cahoots and they're going after maybe good ministries, good pastors, good leaders, ultimately God will send a spirit within that group of people, and he will deal with them against one another. That's an amazing thing. Sometimes we think we have to, from the outside, go in and really set things straight. Pastor Chuck used to say, if you want to defend yourself, God will let you. But if you let God defend you, he will. And here, God sends an evil spirit to deal with them in order that the violence done, verse 24, to the 70 sons of Zerubbabel might come and their blood might be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. And the men of Shechem set men in ambush against him on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed all who might pass by them along the road, and it was told to Abimelech. Now Gaal, the son of Eber, came with his relatives, and crossed over into Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their trust in him. Now, we don't exactly know where they're from. Gaal and son of Eber. You could look at some of the commentators and they say, well, they're Canaanites. They come in. Well, we don't exactly know. Could be, but the point is God sends them in and they're going to be big players in this turning the Shechemites against one another. Verse 27, and they went out into the field and gathered the grapes of their vineyards and trod them and held a festival, and they went into the house of their God and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Eber, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Zerubbabel? And is Zebal not his lieutenant? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But why should we serve him? He's talking about Abimelech. Would therefore that the people were under my authority, then I would remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase your army and come out. And then Zebal, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal and the son of Eber, and his anger burned. And he sent messengers to Abimelech. And you might see kind of a double agent. He started out with Gaal, and now he's running to Abimelech. Again, God, an evil spirit is sent. He's turning these people against one another. I've prayed that when I see some bad things happening. It's almost like, this can turn out really bad. God, you've got to go there and turn them against each other. And so he sent messengers to Abimelech, deceitfully saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Eber, and his relatives have come to Shechem. And behold, they are stirring up the city against you. Now, therefore, arise by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall come about in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, that you shall rise early and rush upon the city. And behold, when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you shall do to them whatever you can. So he's got the Shechemites, Gaal, on his side. And so now this guy, Zebal, tells Abimelech, and so now they're going to come from the mountain area and come and attack them. And so Abimelech, verse 34, and all the people who were with him arose by night and lay in wait against Shechem in four companies. Now Gaal, the son of Eber, went out and stood in the entrance of the city gate, and Abimelech and the people who were with him arose from the ambush. Now, so he's not aware, calling him out, but he's not aware that Abimelech and his army is around. And so he, at this point, he's not really prepared. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebal, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains. But Zebal said, you are seeing the shadow of the mountains as if they were men. And so you know how shadows will come over a mountain and it'll, you know, kind of darken it. And yet they were men coming down. And he's saying, oh, no, it's just a shadow. And Gaal spoke again and said, behold, probably took a while and checking it out. And he says, no, behold, people are coming down from the highest part of the land. And one company comes by the way of the diviner's oak. Then Zebal said to him, where is your boasting now with which you said, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Is this not the people whom you despised? Go out now and fight with them. So Gaal went out before the leaders of Shechem and fought with Abimelech, and Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many fell wounded up to the entrance of the gate. Then Abimelech remained at Aramah, But Zebul drove out Gaal and his relatives so that they could not remain in Shechem. So here, remember, the Shechemites are fighting the Shechemites. You have Gaal and you have Abimelech. And so they're really destroying one another. And so that's God's, not just his judgment, but his chastisement on them for their evil deeds. And remember, they murdered the sons of Gideon. You can murder a person. It's not death, but it's defamation of people. We're in a culture like that. We defame, we slander, and we turn others against just as bad. And you see, God is preparing those spirits to come in and deal with that kind of attitude and those kind of people. Now, verse 42, it came about the next day that the people went out to the field. And it was told Abimelech. Now, these were those in the city, but they would go out. They were farmers and stuff. And so that is basically part of, you know, their routine. They would go out. So he took his people and divided them into three companies and lay in wait in the field. When he took and saw the people coming out from the city, he arose against them and slew them. So these people were on the side of Gaal. And so Abimelech's taking no prisoner, so he wipes them out. Then Abimelech and the company who was with him dashed forward and stood in the entrance of the city gate. The other two companies then dashed against all who were in the field and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he captured the city and killed the people who were in it. Then he razed the city and sowed it with salt. So in other words, when you sow a city or you sow a land with salt, you can't really produce crops in it. And so that's what he's doing. He's decimating it. Verse 46, when all the leaders of the Tower of Shechem heard of it, they entered the inner chamber of the temple of El-Berith. Oh, this is a pagan temple. And it was told Abimelech that all the leaders of the Tower of Shechem were gathered together. So Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a branch from the trees and lifted it and laid it on his shoulder. Then he said to the people who were with him, "What you have seen me do, hurry and do likewise." And all the people also cut down each one his branch and followed Abimelech and put them on the inner chamber and set the inner chamber on fire over those inside, so that all the men of the Tower of Shechem who died were about 1,000 men and women. Now, remember when Jotham said that fire is going to come out and consume? Here's the prophecy, wipes them out with the flame and with the fire. I mean, they're wiped out anyway with the sword and stuff, but here is part of the prophecy. Then Abimelech, it seems like he thought, well, there's others involved in this, not just those in Shechem. So he goes to Thebes, and he camped against, this is verse 50, Thebes, and captured it. But there was a strong tower in the city, in the center of the city, and all the men and women with all the leaders of the city fled there and shut themselves in, and they went up on the roof of the tower. So Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it and approached the entrance of the tower to burn it with fire. So he figured to do the same thing there in Thebes as he did in Shechem, in the tower of Shechem there. But a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head, crushing his skull. I think we have a picture of a millstone. When you go to Israel, you see these all over the place. They're ancient and how they crush grain. Well, some of them were household, so where the wife could, you know, take the grain and crush it right there. Others were for more production, and you'd have an animal that would pull a huge millstone, and it would crush a lot of grain. But this was probably one that, you know, it could have weighed, you know, 30 pounds or so, 20, 30 pounds. You throw it from the top of a thing and it hits somebody in the head and he's a goner. And that's exactly what it does, and it crushes his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest it be said a woman slew me." So the young man pierced him through and he died. Boy, you talk about pride, you talk about ego. I don't want it said that a woman killed me, so you ram me through. Nonetheless, that didn't work. Remember when David is dealing with his Joab, and when they went out to battle, and the husband of Bathsheba killed because he was close to the wall. And then David responded to Joab, "Why so close to the wall?" Remember when Abimelech, a woman, threw a millstone, upper millstone over and crushed his head. So even David talks about this in later years, but he's saying Abimelech was put to death by a woman. So it really didn't help him that he was pierced through by his servant, because it's still, the word went out that a woman had killed him. Verse 55, "And when the men of Israel saw Abimelech was dead, each departed to his home. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his brother, or to his father, in killing his 70 brothers. Also, God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem upon their heads, and the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel," or Gideon, "came upon them." The Bible tells us your sin shall find you out. And that is so true when we dish out dirt to others. You just realize in time, God deals with that. We don't get away with bad behavior. Woe are we if we do get away with bad behavior in this life, because the Bible says that to whom God loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son and daughter that he receives. But if you are without chastening, you're illegitimate. You're not even his child. So we need to embrace that chastening when it does come, when he does deal with us to build our character, however it is. Every wave is an education. Everything you're going to encounter is an education. It's testing us so that God might trust us in all that he's given us.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 9. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 10. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.